The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
This final battle where all the nations of the earth gather against Jerusalem. And it's at that point that the Jewish people turn to the Messiah, the one whom they pierced. And he comes immediately. He comes. He's just been waiting for them to call. Just like he waits for us. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, he's just waiting. He's just waiting. And the moment you call to him, he'll come. He'll come.
Do you have a friend that is always there for you no matter what? It doesn't make a difference the time of day or how far away they are. They will make a point to help you out in your time of need. The Bible says that God is even closer to you than that. He will come the moment you call on him. Today, Pastor Dan shows us an amazing truth from the book of Zechariah. In the last days, God won't just be there for Israel spiritually. He will actually physically come and intervene for them as soon as they call. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Zechariah chapter 13 for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
Verse 6, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Those who put Jesus to death despised and rejected him, but they were from the house of his friends. They were from the house of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Remember, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They were from the house of all the prophets who prophesied about the coming Messiah and Savior. They were all friends to Jesus, looking forward to Jesus. He was crucified by friends in the house of his friends. Verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Now, this is another interesting verse. The Lord is speaking, and notice the word Lord is in all capital letters. It's indicating it's Jehovah, Yahweh is speaking. And Jehovah refers to this one who is to come, who was wounded in the house of his friends. Jehovah calls him my shepherd and the man who is my companion. Well, what man can be the companion of Jehovah God? Only someone who is equal to God can be the companion of God. Well, what man is equal with God? Only the God-man, Jesus Christ. This verse affirms the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God. He says, look at verse 7, in the middle of the verse, strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Jesus quoted this verse in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, and he applied this prophecy to his own disciples who scattered when Jesus was arrested in Gethsemane. It's speaking of Jesus. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, and watch what it says here in verse 8, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left in it. I will bring the 1/3 through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. During the great tribulation, that 7-year period where God pours out his wrath upon the earth, we're told here in this verse that two-thirds of the Jewish people living in the land of Israel at that time will be cut off and die. Only one-third of the Jews will survive the tribulation and enter into the kingdom age. Now, during Hitler's Holocaust, one-third of the Jews were murdered. Two-thirds of the Jews survived. During the tribulation, it will be inverted. Two-thirds of the Jews will die, and only one-third will survive. The tribulation is called in the book of Jeremiah the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble. And this is why. Only one-third of the Jews will survive. And they will be refined by the tribulation, and that one-third will be refined by what they go through. And that one-third will look with faith to the one whom they pierced, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9 again. The Lord says, the Jews who come through the tribulation will call on my name. Well, what's his name? His name is Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. And I will say to them, this is my people. Remember in the book of Hosea, God said, these are not my people. But then, in the kingdom, when Christ returns, when they call on his name, and he comes back, he's going to say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. The relationship between Israel and God will finally be restored. You know, Jeremiah chapter 32, I'll read it to you. Jeremiah 32, the Lord says, behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger and my fury and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them. That's the kingdom age. That's the kingdom age. Chapter 14. Beginning in verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. That's interesting here in chapter 14. We've talked about before that the day of the Lord is really talking about an age that begins with the seven-year tribulation period and really goes all the way through the eternal state. But here in chapter 14, when he talks about the day of the Lord, he's talking about the actual day that the Lord returns here, the day. You know, this is a general age here, but now we're talking about the day the Lord comes. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. This is the last battle where all the nations of the world gather against Jerusalem. And this last battle, the purpose of this last battle is really to decide who will control the world. Will man control the world, or will God control the world? In Psalm 2, it says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, Jesus Christ, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. The nations of the world will attempt to cast off God once and for all and to cast off God's authority, these cords, these chains that are holding us back once and for all. And it all comes down to this one final battle that is known as Armageddon. And they will attack Jerusalem, And we see here in verse 2, they will actually take the city of Jerusalem. And it's at this point that the remnant of Jews that remain will turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. Verse 3, then the Lord, Yahweh, will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. Look at verse 4. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Verse 3 says, the Lord, Jehovah, will go forth and fight against those nations that attack Jerusalem. The Lord Jehovah himself will rescue Jerusalem and the Jewish people. And verse 4 says, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Whose feet? The Lord Jehovah, the Lord God. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. So this is speaking of the return of Jesus Christ, obviously. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 1. And here in Acts chapter 1, this is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's about to ascend back to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, with the disciples, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus tells his disciples, I want you to just wait here in Jerusalem. Don't do anything until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and empowered with the Holy Spirit. They've spent 3 years with Jesus. They've heard every sermon. They've seen every miracle. And Jesus says, you're not ready. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, once you leave, we're going to be the only witnesses here on the face of the earth. Shouldn't we at least try? No, just stay here and wait until you're baptized and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'd rather you not try to be a witness for me without the empowering of the Spirit. Isn't that something? How important do you think the baptism of the Holy Spirit is? So he says, wait till you're baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, verse 6, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9, now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. He ascends back to heaven. And this takes place on the Mount of Olives. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet.
You're listening to Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton of Calvary Chapel, Ellicott City, Maryland. We'll return to the second half of today's message in a moment. But first, here's a word from Pastor Dan.
It's my privilege to share the Word of God with you through our radio ministry, Ring of Truth. Thank you for tuning in each day. Hey, I would love to hear from you. Will you take a moment to email me to tell me how these daily studies have ministered to you? I want to hear your story. You can email me through our website at calvaryec.com. That's calvaryec.com.
Thanks, Pastor Dan. Now let's join him again for the conclusion of today's edition of Ring of Truth.
So they're on the Mount of Olives. Jesus ascends to heaven. They're standing there, staring up, watching him get smaller and smaller and smaller as he goes up. And then these two angels appear and say, what are you guys looking at? And then they say, this same Jesus. I like that. Not any other Jesus. This same Jesus is going to return in like manner as you saw him go to heaven. He's going to return right here to the Mount of Olives. Just like you saw him go up, He's going to come down and he's going to stand right here on the Mount of Olives. Back in Zechariah chapter 14, the Lord God says, in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Now, when Jesus Christ came the first time, he came as the suffering servant who died on the cross for our sins, to make a way of forgiveness and salvation for mankind. And when he comes back the second time, he will come as a warrior king. And he will come and he will stand on the Mount of Olives, literally. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, just east of Jerusalem. You know, because of this verse, the most sacred cemetery to the Jewish people is on the Mount of Olives. Jews desire to be buried on the Mount of Olives because when the Messiah comes, he will stand on the Mount of Olives, according to Zechariah 14:4 here. And when he stands on the earth, the Jews believe they will be resurrected at that time and they will enter into the Messianic kingdom. And so Jewish people desire to be buried on the Mount of Olives because of this verse here in Zechariah 14, they want a front row seat to the resurrection. That's why they're buried there. In fact, a burial plot on the Mount of Olives costs about $100,000 to buy one plot there. But for tonight only, I can get you in one for $80,000. But you have to pay tonight. Operators are standing by. Look at verse 4 again. So Jesus is going to come back to rescue the Jewish people and fight for them and fight against those nations. And he will stand on the Mount of Olives. Look at verse 4 again. When he stands on the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, half of it toward the south, creating this valley, this huge valley. Some believe this will be the valley of Jehoshaphat, or the valley of decision, where Jesus will gather all the nations to judge them, spoken of in Joel chapter 3, verse 2. Now, the Jews have built a cemetery on the Mount of Olives because they want front row seats to the return of the Messiah. They think it'll be the first time the Messiah comes. They're going to be surprised to find it's actually the second time the Messiah came. The Muslims have bricked the eastern gate shut to the old city of Jerusalem, the gate that faces the Mount of Olives. And they've placed a cemetery in front of the eastern gate because they believe a Jewish Messiah would never defile himself by walking through a cemetery to enter the eastern gate. And just in case he does, they bricked it shut to keep the Messiah out. When he stands on the Mount of Olives, it's going to split in two. And there's going to be a valley that goes towards Jerusalem, towards the Temple Mount. The bricked wall and the cemetery, it's going to be a non-issue, right? Once it splits open. As if Jesus will land on the Mount of Olives and go, man. Look at verse 5. Then he's speaking to those living in Jerusalem at that time. So again, the timeline here is at the end of the tribulation, this final battle where all the nations of the earth gather against Jerusalem. And it's at that point that the Jewish people turn to the Messiah, the one whom they pierced. And he comes immediately. He comes. He's just been waiting for them to call, just like he waits for us. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, he's just waiting. He's just waiting. And the moment you call to him, he'll come. He'll come. And the moment that the Jews call to him, he will come to them to rescue them. And then verse 5 says, then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. We don't really know where Azal is, but it's away from Jerusalem. It's a way of escape. Yes, you shall flee, as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. We don't know anything about this earthquake. It's mentioned twice in the Bible. It must have been a significant earthquake, and the people of Jerusalem fled when it happened. Look at the end of verse 5. Thus the Lord, notice it's all capital letters, Jehovah, thus the Lord Jehovah, my God, will come, and all the saints with you. The Lord my God will come, Jesus will come with all the saints with him. That will include us that are believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus will rapture his church to heaven before the tribulation begins. So we will be in heaven with Jesus during the tribulation, either by death or rapture. And we will return with him when he comes back at the end of the tribulation. Jesus will come for his church at the rapture, and he will come with his church at his second coming. Again, the rapture will take place before the tribulation begins. The second coming will take place in the final days of the tribulation at this battle of Armageddon. The rapture is imminent, meaning it could happen at any moment. It could happen tonight, that Jesus could descend in the clouds and those who are alive and remain on the earth will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's imminent. The second coming occurs at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. So the second coming is not imminent. There's a lot of things that need to happen before the second coming will take place. Revelation 19 describes the return of Jesus Christ. It says, "Now I saw heaven open." Listen to this. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven," that's us, "clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." Don't worry if you don't know how to ride a horse. You'll be in your glorified body. "Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations." Remember, he's coming for this battle. All the nations are gathered against Jerusalem. "Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself," Jesus Christ, "will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Jude says, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on the earth." He comes back, riding out of heaven, with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on the earth. And I say to that, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Verse 6 describes his second coming. "It shall come to pass in that day," look what it says here. This is what it'll be like when he comes, "that there will be no light. The lights will diminish." The lights will go out. "It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time it shall happen that it will be light." There will be darkness on the earth when Jesus returns. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24 that the sun will go dark. The sun will not give its light. The moon and the stars will go dark, but just before his second coming.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
You've been listening to Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton. Pastor Dan has been teaching through the book of Zechariah, and he has more to share with you next time. If you have any questions or would like to talk, to share a prayer request, we'd like to hear from you. You can reach us at 410-491-4592. That number again is 410-491-4592. You can also get in touch with us by visiting our website. Go to calvaryec.com and look under the About tab. Then click on Contact. Maybe you're looking for additional messages from this series. You can find them at calvaryec.com as well, under the Media tab. If you're not connected with a local church, we encourage you to find a church family that will help guide and support you in your faith. And if you're in the area, please join us at Calvary Chapel, Ellicott City in Columbia, Maryland. For more details, visit calvaryec.com. If you'd like to submit a prayer request of something that's been on your heart, you can do that on our website as well. Just look under the Prayer tab at calvaryec.com. Our website is a great place to find out what we believe and to get to know Pastor Dan a little more. Feel free to explore and learn at calvaryec.com. In our next edition, you'll have the opportunity to gain some additional insights from this Old Testament book of Zechariah. So be sure to join us again right here on Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that crack.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.